On today's Into Your Head, number 647 for Saturday, the monkey nut marketing principle, scenes from a 1980s Ethiopian bar, an appearance from deceased junior announcer Glenn Acton, another new Shania Groga's a Thai Weekly World News, scraping a bucket versus melting a bucket, how to make a song about Mondays, and lots more.
This is J. Edgar Casey, and whenever I am listening to fine podcasts, I tune into the Into Your Head program because it's very clean.
We've a lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. Oh, topics. We've got lots and lots of topics. We're positively booming to the seams with topics. We've got topics coming out of, nowhere, apparently. Nowhere. The well is dry at this particular moment. So dry as be damned. Oh, it's like if you're living in Ethiopia during the mid-1980s and you go out with your bucket on your head down to the local well, and you sink the bucket down into the well, and then you bring it up on the rope, and it comes up empty, as empty except for air. Apparently, air isn't enough for them. They want water now too. They say, "Oh, they never hear this. You never hear people in these third world countries complaining about the air. No, they always have enough. In fact, they always have more than they need. But they won't share it. They won't say, if you give us water or precious aid, we'll give you some of our air that we have that's a lot less industrialized, so it's a lot cleaner and purer. We'll sell you some air. Well, not sell it, we're not in it for the money. We'll just swap you over for water. In fact, if you leave the hand over the water here, we'll take out whatever molecules you need to take out for there to be just oxygen left, and then you can take that back and put your carbon dioxide emissions into that, and then you'll have extra air, and we'll have we'll have water without the air, I suppose. We can put our own air into that. See, this sort of stuff, it needs to, you need to come at this stuff sideways. You need lateral thinking, thinking outside the box. You have the box there, and you say, I can see the box from here. I see the problem, but I can't do anything about it from this angle. So I'll come at it from another angle. I'll tunnel up underneath the box, maybe, or put the box up on the glass table. Would be a lot. See, that's thinking outside the box again. Most people would think, oh, I want to look at this box from underneath, so I better tunnel up under it. But no, if you get the likes of, for example, magicians, they know about this. If you want to show a box from underneath, you put it on a glass table and go under it with the camera, and then you can look up. You learn this the first time you're a child and you're brought to a big fancy aquarium somewhere, and they have these tunnels where you can walk along an underwater way tunnel under the water, and there's glass, and you're looking up at the fishes, and the fishes are looking down at you, and you're looking up at the fishes. You're looking down on the fishes, really, if we're honest, because you're looking down on that species. Don't try to pretend that you're looking up at them just because you're standing underneath them. No. In the real world, you're looking down on you're standing underneath the fishes, but you're looking down at them, whether they're above you or not. Because in both the physical and the metaphorical way, because as we all know, the Earth is spinning through space. We don't know which way up is for a start, so we could well be looking down with them, even when we're standing underneath them in that tunnel, and metaphorically as well. I think I already explained that bit. Anyway, hello and welcome to the show. Two 1980s Ethiopian children walk into a bar. One of the 1980s Ethiopian children goes straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, can I have an ounce of your finest water, please?" Well, it doesn't have to be your finest. Any water will do. Haven't had a liquid of any kind in 8 days. I'm fucking parched. And the man behind the bar says, "Show me some ice." Haidi, and the Ethiopian Medehi's child says, why do you need to know my identification? And the man behind the bar says, it's the law. Thinking outside the box again, most people would think, oh, I want to look at this box from underneath, so I better tunnel up under it. But no, if you get the likes of, for example, magicians, they know about this. If you want to show a box from underneath, you put it on a glass table and go under it with the camera, and then you can look up. You learn this the first time you're a child and you're brought to a big fancy aquarium somewhere, and they have these tunnels where you can walk along an underwater way tunnel under the water, and there's glass, and you're looking up at the fishes, and the fishes are looking down at you, and you're looking up at the fishes, you're looking down on the fishes, really, if we're honest, because you're looking down on that species. Don't try to pretend that you're looking up at them just because you're standing underneath them. No. In the real world, you're looking down when you're standing underneath the fishes, but you're looking down at them, whether they're above you or not, because in both the physical and the metaphorical way, because as we all know, the earth is spinning through space. We don't know which way up is for a start, so we could well be looking down with them even when we're standing underneath them in that tunnel, and metaphorically as well. I think I already explained that bit. Anyway, hello and welcome to the show. Two 1980s Ethiopian children walk into a bar. One of the 1980s Ethiopian children goes straight up to the bar counter and says, hello, can I have an ounce of your finest water, please? Well, it doesn't have to be your finest. Any water will do. Haven't had a liquid of any kind in 8 days. I'm fucking parched. And the man behind the bar says, show me some ID. And the Ethiopian Medehi's child says, why do you need to know my identification? And the man behind the bar says, it's the law. No ID, no water for you, young man. And the man in front of the bar says, are you talking to me? And the man behind the bar says, no, I'm talking to the fella beside you, the Medehi's Ethiopian child. And the other fella says, well, I'm a Medehi's Ethiopian adult, and I'm at the bar too. You don't have to refer to us all by our decade. We're all in the same decade here, unless there's something you're not telling me. And the man behind the bar says, I don't know. I haven't figured out this whole thing yet. This whole premise that we're in could be, for example, that we're in some sort of time travel crossroads or something. I don't know. I suppose it remains to be seen, however this situation progresses. Anyway, he turns back to the Ethiopian Medehi's child and says, I can see that you're probably in need of a drink there, but this place is a bar. We serve alcohol, but alcohol will only dehydrate you further. Alcohol is not a cure, no more than drinking seawater would be. Is there any sea near Ethiopia? I don't think so. It's probably just as well if there isn't, because you'd be drinking up the seawater and it would basically kill you. ID, please. And the Ethiopian Medehi's child says, okay, hang on a minute and I'll get out my ID. I keep it under my armpit here. Don't worry, I won't be covered in sweat because I'm completely dry. I haven't had a drop of liquid in me for 8 days. My pores are basically, they've closed up. They're sealing in any bit of moisture. They're not going to excel them. They're not going to waste them on moistening the ID that I'm about to hand you. Anyway, here you go. And the man behind the bar says, that's okay, you can just hold it up to my face there. And the Ethiopian Medehi's child says, I can't hold my arm up. And also, this seems a little distasteful. I'm probably 20 years dead by now. And here you are doing a two cats walk into a bar story in which the two cats are substituted by me and my friend here. And the man behind the bar says, who are you talking to? And the Ethiopian Medehi's child says, who are you talking to? And the man behind the bar says, I'm talking to you. And the Medehi's child says, I can see that now. Well, I can hear it. I can't see it. You can't see talk unless you're one of those weird, maybe there's some sort of weird sixth sense people who can see words floating through the air when you speak them. I don't know. I haven't really got much capacity for thinking about that sort of philosophical or scientific scientific stuff at the moment, because I tell you, when you're short, when you're dehydrated, the last thing you're able to do is think. I'm amazed I got myself in here. Anyway, I'll put my ID down on the bar here for you, and I'll face it towards you so you can get a good look at it. And the barman says, that'll be fine, thanks very much. I see from this photo that this isn't you. I can see very clearly. Don't take this the wrong way, but the person in this photo looks like they've had a hot meal every day for at least the last couple of years, with maybe a few breaks when they were travelling or something. But you look like you haven't. In fact, you look like you haven't even had any water in several days. And the Ethiopian mid-80s child says, if I had any energy, I'd do a slow clap for you now. But no, I don't. I'm starving to death. I hadn't had any water because there's a fucking drought on here. Although apparently it doesn't affect bars. Either that or in some sort of time travel thing. And you're not from my era. I don't know. Either way, stuff. Where are we going with this anyway? And the barman says, Christ only knows. Just last week we had a dog in here, a couple of dogs in fact. Then if I remember rightly, at one point we had two American presidential candidates in. It's mostly cats though, it's mostly cats. But no, I think this is the first time we've had a couple of mid-80s Ethiopian children in. Would you mind if I take a photo and get an autograph? I'll put it up on my wall of fame here. And the mid-80s Ethiopian child says, not at all. I'll do that for you in exchange for a drink of water. And the man says, oh, I'm sorry, you haven't been able to verify your age. And the child says, but I'm not looking for alcohol. And the man said, doesn't matter, the law is the law. The law is the law, be it an ass or not. Oh, there's my cat out on the green. I think it's Shrody. But no, the law is the law. And the law may well be an ass. But if you have a problem with the law, go and protest it properly. Go and set up a protest, have the law changed. You don't just ignore it. And while I may agree with you that I should be allowed to sell you water here, or even give it to you free, which frankly I'd be quite happy to do because you look like you could eat it, I can't. So go and get Bob Geldof or Bono or someone to go and protest that on your behalf. And Charles says, fair enough, I'm sorry to have upset you, I'll just go out here and die. And the man says, okay. And then the story ends rather unsatisfactorily, if you don't mind me saying so. Not one of my better two cats walk into a bar stories. I think the absence of a cat was an issue. Anyway, on with the show. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, Christ, scraping the bucket. That's what he's doing today. Scraping the bucket. I can tell you what's on the bucket to scrape isn't very much. He'll be scraping into the metal or the plastic. Can you scrape out plastic? I don't know. You can certainly melt it, but you need heat for that. Although, if you're in the third world, there's no shortage. That's one thing there's no shortage of in mid-1980s Ethiopia, I can tell you. Heat. If you had a plastic bucket, which you probably wouldn't, at least you could melt down some of the plastic. It's probably not much you could do with it. It's not like you're going to drink it, but at least it's something. It's probably a bit more satisfactory than trying to scrape a metal bucket that's got nothing on it and nothing comes off, and all you're scraping away for hours, even if it's just to pass the time and distract you from your hunger. It's not going to be very satisfactory if nothing comes off it, although you can melt metal. Although I'd say you could probably melt plastic a lot more easily than metal. Remember, they're not using a furnace here, they're just using the hot midday sun, which is only there for a while every day. So no, they're probably going to have more luck trying to melt the plastic than melt the metal. In fact, they probably wouldn't even need to scrape at the plastic, so they'll just put the bucket under the sun, direct the sun at it, maybe use a magnifying glass, but that's not going to keep keep them occupied, because as I say, there's no scraping involved, so they might be better off getting a metal bucket, a slightly dirty metal bucket, and scrape away at that for a while. I'm not suggesting they eat the stuff either. This is just keep them occupied while we wait for, while we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord Saviour Bono stroke Bob Geldof. Do foreigners know Bob Geldof? I don't know. He's a fellow with hair. He was in charge of Live Aid. He's a bit like Bono, except he did Tell Me What I Don't Like Mondays. Tell Me What I Don't Like Mondays. Tell Me What I Don't Like Mondays. Not to be confused with the Bangles' I Don't Something Something Something. Just Another Manic Monday. Just Another Manic Monday. No, that was a different thing. From the same era, though. Although, no, the Bob Geldof one was probably from earlier. It was about a girl who shot everyone in her fucking school, so he decided to make a pop song out of it. And then 10 years later, to atone for what he'd done, he set up Live Aid and Band-Aid.
If you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt myself there, because I'm being an asshole there.
Critiquing the likes of Bob Geldof, one of the finest do-gooders of the 20th century. So no, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is now and have a go at a song about Mondays. See if it's as easy as I make it out to be, as I'm not a damn hypocrite. I'll be happy to admit if I'm wrong about whatever I said. So here we go, a song about Monday. Oh, Monday, Monday, everybody likes a good Monday. Oh, Monday, Monday, unfortunately there aren't many good Mondays. Oh, Monday, Monday, it's just a pile of crap, that's all it is. It's a pile of crap, there's no point getting philosophical about it. Oh, Monday, Monday, no point getting philosophical about Monday. Oh, Monday, Monday, no point going out Monday. Oh, Monday, Monday, at least you're not dead on a Monday. Oh, Monday, oh, Monday, nobody likes a good Monday, because then there's nothing to complain about. That's why we all love Monday.
You're listening to Into Your Head with your humble proprietor, Neil, from Ireland.
Hello, this is your former deceased junior announcer Glenn Acton, who older listeners may remember was fictionally brutally murdered by your host around April of last year, unless I'm greatly mistaken. Still dead, nothing's changed there. They haven't found a cure for death yet, and if they do, it'll probably be more of a prevention than a cure, because as they say, prevention is better than cure. Well, not to me, it's not, I can tell you, I'd much rather cure than prevention at the moment, with not much we can do about that. There's a band called The Cure, I don't know if you realise, they did a song called I Don't Care If Monday's Blue, Something, Something, Something To If Fridays I'm In Love, a song about Fridays, because as it so happened, your host was going on about Mondays earlier, as if the only day anyone's ever written a song about was Mondays. No, there are songs about Fridays. There are songs about Saturdays, I'm sure, as well. There's your one, Saturday night, something like the way you move, something, something, something. And there's about 15 songs by the Beatles about Saturday night. I don't know if there's any about Saturday morning. They seem to compartmentalise the weekend ones a bit more. They don't say, oh, it's Monday, or oh, it's Saturday. They say it's either Saturday night, or it's Sunday morning, or somewhere between brunch and mid-afternoon of a Sunday. Because the weekends, you want to stretch it out a bit. You want to isolate each part of each day. You enjoy Saturday morning, you enjoy Saturday evening differently. You think of them as two different parts of the week. You're kidding yourself, really. You're kidding yourself. The fact is, you're wasting away 5 out of every 7 days of your life in an office somewhere, and you try to stretch out the weekend mentally in your brain. Well, I can tell you, someone who's dead now, I can tell you it all. In the end, it all makes no difference whatsoever. It makes no difference. I don't know how this is going to help you. I'm not here to help. I'm not a frigging, not like some frigging Jesus fellow who's come back to help my former listeners. No. Why would I? I've got better things to do. Well, I haven't really. Worse things I could be doing if I wanted to do come back and do bad things, and I've better things I could do if I wanted to come back and do better things. Suffice to say, I just wanted to pop my head in, just like in the old days. Glenn Acton here, former junior announcer with Into Your Head. I hope you're all well. I hope you're doing fine without me. You seem to be all listening, despite this fella having murdered me and admitted to it in cold blood. Cold as be damned, I can tell you. He put me into a big fucking bucket of freezing cold blood with ice in it to make it colder. Of course, in some countries, like you Americans, for example, you love things being freezing cold. You go into a shop and you say, can I have some iced coffee, please? No, you can't. That's like saying, can I have my hot dinner with frigging ice cream on it? You cannot. Hot beverages are meant to be served hot, not served cold. So fuck off out of that. Anyway, this is Glenn Acton. Hello.
Support the Podcastual Arts at no cost to you. Just click through the Amazon link at intoyourhead.com whenever you go shopping for anything, even if you use Amazon UK or Canada. We'll take your weird foreign money here. We're not proud. Just visit intoyourhead.com and click on the appropriate Amazon banner.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in this program, email studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.
Matchstick cats! Matchstick cats! Matchstick cats! Matchstick cats and stuff!
Are you a cat? Or do you know somebody who might be? Then tell yourself about Matchstick Cats, Neil's webcomic. Brand new episodes at intoyourhead.com.
Two songs about Monday walk into a bar. One of the songs about Monday straight away goes up to the bar and says, hello, do you have a jukebox by any chance? And the man behind the bar says, who said that? And the song about Monday says, I said that. I know it probably sounds odd because you're used to hearing me on the radio in musical form, but no, I'm that song about Monday that's in the hit parade at the moment. I was just wondering, do you have a jukebox? And the barman says, who said, did someone say something? I'm hearing weird noises. It's like a muffled thing, but it's like it's coming out of the radio, but it's not. But it sounds odd. It sounds like it's got the wrong lyrics or something. And the song about Monday says, oh, for fuck's sake, I give up, and walks out. And then the other song about Monday, he just melts into the crowd. It's a busy Friday night. No one's listening to music. It's the wrong time. And the moral of the story is, pick your moments. Now, pick your moments. There's a time and a place for everything. They had the right place, wrong time, probably wrong person as well. You want the manager owner, not the fellow who runs the bar. He does an important job, but he probably doesn't have the authority to buy stuff for the jukebox. He probably didn't even know he could buy songs for the jukebox. In fact, you probably can't, now that I think about it. And even if you could, why would the freaking song go around marketing itself? Although they do say, or at least they should, if they don't, they should say, a good song will sell itself. But in actual fact, it doesn't, sadly. That's why we have the fucking music industry. Anyway, on with the show.
I'm Shawnee Greger, and this is a Thai Weekly World News. The news, the whole news, and nothing but the news. Plus weather, traffic, sports, and celebrity births. 3,000 jobs are to be created over 5 years at a new jobs factory in South Kildare. The initiative will initially take on 50 people under a three-month contract, during which they will be expected to create jobs for themselves, in a sterile, state-of-the-art brainstorming laboratory. Those who succeed will be kept on for longer periods. Kildare's Library Czar has today published legislation which, if enacted, will lead to a 15% illiteracy tax on the borrowing of so-called audiobooks from county libraries. It's believed the move was influenced by New York City's recent implementation of a fat tax on sugary drinks. Opposition councillors have slammed the proposal, saying it appears to have been written in very legalistic language and is difficult to read. Local consumer groups have launched an attack on Ireland's gas and electricity providers. It's being claimed that the utility companies are intentionally choosing colder days to visit customers for meter readings, leading to unfairly high heating bills. The industry's independent regulator has responded by warmly welcoming the aforementioned proposal for an illiteracy tax. A group of local students have won third place in this year's Young Scientist Awards. After proving once and for all that so-called empty nest syndrome is a misnomer, the students spent a month studying a pair of elderly sparrows whose children have all grown up and moved to their own nests, or been eaten by cats. The scholars observed that the nest was never empty, except when the parents were out and about. A Thai town council has announced that it is to increase by 30% the length of the gaps between dotted white lines in an attempt to cut costs. Motorist advocate groups have slammed the move, claiming that smaller modern electric-powered cars are already slipping through the wrong side of the road, putting lives at risk. In weather, it's just been announced that a Thai's oldest person has died for the third time in less than 2 years. It's believed that this time she had just turned 102. I'm Shawnee Greger, and that was a Thai Weekly World News. Tune in tonight on television for another chance to see Shawnee's Cribs, my 2011 investigative documentary about the commercialisation of the Christmas story. But for now, a very good morning to you.
Monkey nuts, that's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, dolloping piles of monkey nuts. I suppose they could just call them monkey nuts. But we're a developed species, and we've developed a bit of language and a bit of artistic flair or floweriness, whatever it's called. Sometimes it's nice to... My square chair is still squeaking. Hold on. Hell, I sprayed it with this WD-40 oil some time ago, about half an hour ago. I've just sprayed it under my arse without looking where it was going, so I mightn't have got the itch, so to speak. So I'll just try it again. I'll spray it in here under me. There we go. Spray a bit into the air as well. Anyway, suffice to say, squeakiness. Sorry about that. Where was I? Oh yes, monkey nuts. Language. You see, in the old days, they'd have just said, monkey nuts. There's a nut. Now, we notice now there's more than one type of nut. So we'll call this one a monkey nut. And we'll call this one a...
This one and not a monkey nut. And that was fine until they found the third one. And they said, oh, we'll call this one a monkey nut, this one not a monkey nut, and this one neither of the above. But what if you want to list? If you want a list, and the first on the list of the is the neither of the above one. There's nothing above it to refer to. So they had to come up with more sophisticated naming system that didn't rely in it interdependently. So they said, oh, we'll call this a macadamia nut, we'll call this a monkey nut, and we'll call this, oh, we'll call this, I don't know, whatever they found next. I don't know what order they discovered the different nuts in. It doesn't really matter. But suffice to say, then they decided, oh, there's millions of monkey nuts in the world, and if you're writing a story or something, or you're describing something and you're trying to get someone's interest, maybe you're giving a lecture, maybe you're giving a marketing lecture, and you want to use monkey nuts as an example, and you're saying, for example, oh, let's say you want to sell monkey nuts to someone. You go up to them and you say, look at what I have here, and they'll say, what's that? And you'll say, it's monkey nuts, and they'll say, I know it's monkey nuts, I can see that for myself. Well, don't be a smart heart. If you're trying to sell them something, don't just go for the instinctual answer and say exactly, or some smart heart thing. You say, no, these are no ordinary monkey nuts, they're big steaming dolloping piles of monkey nuts. That's what you say. And they'll say, oh, how much are they? And you'll say, how much would you think they are? And they'll have to say something like, I think they're 8 pence a pound per square ounce. And you'll say, oh, you're trying to bleed me dry here. They're 10 euros per pound per square ounce, although I could probably be talked down to 12. Try and trick them then. Just don't make it obvious. Don't record yourself doing it, for Christ's sake, whatever you do. So that's how the monkey nut thing came about. You can't be, if you're a salesman, you can't be just going around saying, look, I've got monkey nuts, do you want some? No, that's why you have the Halloween thing. These kids go around with their bags of collecting sweets and stuff, and they come home and they tip the bag out onto the carpet, and they'll say, oh, they'll take out all the nice stuff, and the rest will just be monkey nuts. They just look as monkey nuts as the just like the bits of corrugated packaging balls that you find when you open up a parcel. Oh no, the monkey nuts are the corrugated bits of rolled up balls of paper or polystyrene to pad it out. And if you're giving out monkey nuts, I can tell you Halloween is trick and treating. Nothing wrong with that, but you need to sell them. You need to say, now look what I have for you kids, I know these look like monkey nuts, but no, they're big steaming dolloping piles of monkey nuts, they're big shit filled. Maybe don't say shit filled. If you're giving them to children, you'll end up on some sort of a register. But no, you get the general idea. The point is, sell your monkey nuts, have some pretend to have some pride in them, and use a bit of jazz it up a bit, basically. Jazz it up. I'd say make a song, but I've already done a song this episode, and I don't want to overdo it. Anyway, good morning.
Sit, Jody. Sit. Good cat.
IntoYourHeadPodcast.com.